In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. This fifth Sunday after Pentecost is the occasion for us to reflect on our relationships with one another. In St. Peter's epistle, he's telling us how we should treat one another, how we should pray, how we should behave. And our Lord, again, in today's gospel, is showing us that our justice must be more than that of the scribes and Pharisees. And I think that saying goes over our heads quite often because we don't realize just how meticulous the scribes and Pharisees were. They followed the letter of the law. Exactly. They held themselves up as a role model for the rest of society. You want to know what the law says. You want to know how to interpret the law. You want to know how to live the law. You must do it the way the scribes and Pharisees do. Our Lord is not condemning them for their punctuality in observing the letter of the law. What our Lord has a problem with is their hypocrisy. Outwardly, they look very holy. They look very just. They look very good from the outside. But inside, they were filled with malice. Their heart held evil towards their neighbors. They thought themselves to be better than their neighbors. And so our Lord says very clearly, unless your justice exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you're not getting into the kingdom of heaven. And outwardly, the scribes and Pharisees did everything perfectly. It was that inner man that Christ is telling us to look to. You have to do better. That goodness has to come forth from the depths of your soul, from your heart and mind. It's not enough just to put out the externals, to put on the appearance of a pious life or a holy life. That isn't going to cut it with God. He wants more. And we need to watch our own behavior with one another, how we think, how we interact. And so I have this morning a couple of stories from my children's book, A Sunday Morning Storyland, that I hope points out not only to the children but to so many adults what our behavior should be. There was a young boy named Vincent. And Vincent was always a grumpy little boy. He could always find a reason to complain, so much so that he got the nickname of Vinegar Vincent. And Vinegar Vincent could find fault everywhere. He was always grumbling. He couldn't be happy. And so Vinegar Vincent's mother said to Vincent, she said to him, there's a little boy, Tommy, that I want you to talk to on the phone. Every day for 2 or 3 days, I want you to talk for a few minutes to Tommy, because Tommy is always happy, and maybe Tommy can help you overcome this problem that you have, that you can't be happy with anything. All you can see is faults. And so Vincent called this young man, spoke to him, and the mother says, okay, I think it's time for you to go meet Tommy. And so Vincent got in the car with his mother, and they drove to see Tommy, and all the way there, Vincent is telling his mother, Tommy's always happy because he obviously has everything. His life is perfect. That's why he's always happy. And you know, when they arrived at Tommy's house, Vincent was shocked to discover Tommy was a cripple. He was in a wheelchair. And yet he was always happy. Tommy had nothing to be upset about, even though he was crippled. And Vincent, who had everything he could possibly want, had everybody trying to please him, he couldn't ever be happy. What was wrong with Vincent? There was nothing wrong with Tommy. It was Vincent's outlook on the world. Vincent could only see evil. He could only see negative. He could only find fault. But once he saw Tommy, he realized he has a lot to be thankful for. He can still walk. He can still run. He can still play. He can do so many things that Tommy can't. He should really be happy, even happier than Tommy. And there's another little story about a little girl. Her name was Sally, and Sally liked to fight with everybody. She thought everybody was her enemy, and Sally was going around pulling hairs and scratching people. And they gave her the nickname, Sourpuss Sally. And so Sourpuss Sally's mother told her, I want you to go out to the edge of the woods, and I want you to yell real loud, 2 times, I hate you, I hate you. And then listen and see what the man in the woods says to you. And of course, you all know what an echo is, right? Yeah. So Sourpuss Sally, she went out to the woods and she did just like her mother said. And you know what she heard back? Her echo replied, I hate you, I hate you. And Sourpuss Sally came crying to her mother, even the man in the woods hates me. And the mother said, well, try this. Go out to the edge of the woods and yell as loud as you can 2 times, I don't hate you, I don't hate you, and see what you get back. And she came back smiling. Yes, Mom, the man in the woods, he doesn't hate me. And what do we learn from that? The way we treat others is the way we're going to be treated. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you think someone hates you and you return hatred for hatred, that's what you're going to get back. If you think everybody has it better than you, you're going to constantly reinforce that, and you're going to see that everybody else has it better than you. And you can be angry and grumpy with the world. You can hate your neighbor and be miserable. But that is a lie. It's not the truth. But there's something in us that we want to hold on to that. We don't want to let go of it. I guess if we let go of our hatred, we're going to have to humble ourselves and admit, I was wrong. I was wrong in judging this person so negatively. I was wrong in thinking this person was so bad. I was wrong in thinking that this person has it better than me. St. Peter tells us we must love one another. We must do good to one another. Our Lord tells us, don't render evil for evil. These two little children in this morning's stories, they had to learn that lesson the hard way. We don't need to learn the hard way. We simply need to listen to what St. Peter has to tell us. To love the brethren. Pray. Yes, other people sin. Other people have problems. Other people are not always as nice to you as they should be. Forgive them. Forgive them like you would want them to forgive you. You haven't always been so nice yourself. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. When we recite the Our Father, the perfect prayer, the prayer that Jesus himself taught us to pray. We ask God in that prayer, Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. We're asking God to forgive us the same way we forgive our neighbor, our fellow man. Every time we say the Our Father, we're saying, God, you know that man that I hate? I want you to hate me just like I hate him. You know that one that I can't stand? I want you not to stand me the way I can't stand him. You know that man that I cursed? I want you to curse me the same way I cursed him. That's what we're asking for. Forgive us our trespasses, forgive us our sins in the same way, in the same measure that I forgive those who trespass against me, those who sin against me. That's how I want you to treat me. And if we'll stop and think about that, it seems most reasonable to expect that we will begin to treat our neighbor perhaps a little bit better. Yes, my neighbor did me really dirty. He really hurt me. But I will forgive him because I want Jesus to forgive me. I will forgive him from the depth of my heart. I want him to go to heaven. I will love him even more. Because that's the way I want God to love me. That's the way I want God to forgive me. And I wonder how we can hold so much animosity. I wonder how we can all be such sourpuss Sallies or vinegar Vincents in this life and then say the Our Father. Christ says in today's gospel, when you come to pray before God and you realize your neighbor has got anything against you, go reconcile yourself to your neighbor before you offer your prayer to God. How dare you come before God and say, Lord, forgive me, just like I forgive my neighbor, when you haven't forgiven your neighbor. Our offering to God, our prayers to God are unacceptable when we harbor hatred in our hearts. When our hearts are filled with pride and vanity and we're looking down upon our neighbor. You don't have to agree with your neighbor. You don't have to accept them for the evil that they've done to you, but you can pray for them. You can love them. And if you truly love them, you want to help them to be better. You want to help them get into heaven. You want to help them please God. And that is the motive why Christ came to this earth. This is the example that Christ has given us. Love one another as your Father in heaven loves you. And it doesn't matter how old they are, what color skin, what gender they are. Each and every one of us is made in the image and likeness of God. Doesn't matter whether we're rich or poor. Doesn't matter what language we speak. We must love one another as Christ has loved us. We must forgive one another as we ask Christ to forgive us. We must seek heaven for one another as we ourselves seek heaven. And so I suggest to us, there's no reason for us to be vinegar or sourpusses. But there's every reason for us to rejoice. God has loved us enough to come to this earth and sacrifice himself for us. We have been given the greatest gift of all. We have been given the chance to merit eternal happiness in heaven with him. Let us not waste that chance. Let us not waste that opportunity. but grasp it and run with it. And what is this opportunity? To deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him. Where is this cross? Where is this self-denial? But in our neighbor. It's the neighbor who tries my patience that gives me the opportunity to become more patient. It is my neighbor who perhaps hates me who gives me the opportunity to return love for hatred. It is my neighbor who has injured me who gives me the opportunity to be Christ-like and to pardon so that I myself may be pardoned. Everyone around us is our neighbor that we are commanded to love. There should be no bitterness, no sourness in our hearts, but our hearts should be filled with joy. Because we have a Father in heaven who loves us. And we have many good things here on earth that he's given us. But more importantly, he holds out eternal happiness to us. Lay aside all the animosity, all the sourness, all the vinegar, and come to Christ in prayer. Come to church with a happy, cheerful heart. Leave all that animosity outside. Leave the hatred outside. Leave the injury outside. Pardon all those who have offended you in any way, whatsoever way they have. And then come and offer your gift to God. Then come and offer your prayer to God. Benedictio Dei omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos et maniat semper. Amen.